right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the board meeting of June 10th, 2020. I will now turn it over to our president, Mr. David Malkin.
Good early evening. It's June 10th, 2020, and I call the regular board meeting of the Rolling Unified School District Board of Education to order. It is now 4:35. Dr. Mitchell, will you please do roll call?
Yes, Angelina Pride.
Present.
Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
Donna Friedman.
Here.
And David Malkin.
Present.
I made it in a different order this time. I was being creative, apparently.
Kind of shaking up here. Are there any changes or items to be pulled from the agenda?
None from staff.
Okay, can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of the Wednesday, June 10th, 2020?
I'll move.
Second.
We have a first and a second. Are there any discussion? Okay, we'll do roll call vote. Ms. Friedman?
Yes.
Mr. Carey?
Yes.
Ms. Lynn? Ebenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Yes.
And yes for me. Motion carries unanimously. Okay, we're on the next item. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed session items?
I believe we've had one request.
Okay. Let me first read this one introductory remark, and then we'll have that one gentleman speak. Please note that the public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes, unless extended by the board, is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. And Ms. Ward, can you please introduce the first gentleman?
All right, we only have one speaker today. It's Mr. Roy Humphreys. And Mr. Humphreys, you're good to go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. First of all, thank you for all the good things you're doing. I did a little research to refine my comments from previously as far as compensation for the teachers, but what you're going to be engaging here. We found a little research at Hacienda La Puente Unified School District. Teachers and we're talking about average numbers here. Teachers and aides compensation on the benefits package, $29,002, which is $6,000 plus above the California state average. Administrators, $22,001, which is $2,000 plus above the state average. Then we go over to Walnut Valley Unified School District, where the teachers and aides benefit package is $30,000. Which gives them about $6,500 above the state average. The administrators, $23,000, which is $3,000 above the state average. Then we come to Roland Unified. And what do we have here? Teachers and aides, $22,500, which puts them about $1,500 below the state average. And for administrators, let's say they should be rioting also, excuse me, that's a poor choice of words in this environment, $19,900, which puts them only a paltry $100 below the state average, but it's still below. And the bottom line is, why do people consider us ghetto? It just smells of ghetto. And it's been going on for such a long time. And it's time to properly compensate our people so that they get the respect that they deserve, this financial respect. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Humphreys. Ms. Ward, are there any other comments? If that's the only one,
that is the only one.
Okay, we'll recess to closed session at 4:39. Please log off and log back into your closed session link.
Measurements of your windows so we can give you a quick
Is my audio working? Okay. Thank you. How's summer school going, Angelina?
Let's just say I'm up to 4 blood pressure pills per day.
All right.
We are just waiting for, waiting for one additional board member and then we'll be ready to begin. All right, Mr. President David Malkin, I believe that our full board and cabinet are present, and we are ready to reconvene our meeting from closed session. Yes, thank you.
Okay, good evening. We have returned to open session at 6:07. All attendants will be led to the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Ms. Friedman, board member.
Okay, please stand. Put your right hand over your heart and recite with me. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Friedman. There is no closed session report tonight. Next, we are going to move to board recognitions. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
Perfect, thank you very much. So we do have just one item for board recognition this evening, and Dr. Zamora will present that.
Thank you. Tonight, we are happy to announce that we are recognizing our students who have had perfect attendance this school year. And the following students are from the grades K through 12th grade. In this case, we have three students from our elementary level. From Hollingworth Elementary, we have Ladislao Gutierrez. From Oswalt, we have Eric Fan. And from Rorimer Elementary, we have Owen Chen. Let's give him a hand.
Yay.
We are also recognizing our students from eighth grade who have had perfect attendance from kindergarten through eighth grade. Quite an accomplishment. From Alvarado, we have Marianne Ning, Jahaida Ramirez, and Megan Jana Vargas. Let's give them a hand. Quite an accomplishment.
Yay.
And then we have recognition for four from Oswalt Academy. My apologies. From Oswalt Academy, again with perfect attendance from kindergarten through eighth grade, Seth Vitob. Let's give him a hand. Great job.
Yay.
From Telesis Academy, we have Brian Thieng Nguyen. Let's give Brian a hand. Great job. Now we have from our high schools, We have four students that have had perfect attendance from kindergarten all the way up to 12th grade. Can you imagine that? For 13 years, they did not miss class. They knew they needed to be in class. Not rain, not a cold. Nothing kept them from accomplishing perfect attendance. And we have from Nogales, Danny Navor and Anioli Campos. Let's give them a hand for this great accomplishment.
Yay.
From Roland High School, with perfect attendance, we have Naomi Lay and Emily Lee. Let's give her Emmy Lee. I'm sorry, Emmy Lee. Let's give them a hand. Great job. Great job to our students. Very proud of them. We know that it's really critical that our students are off every day and that they are with us so that they can continue their careers and education, K-12. And so we do recognize that to have perfect attendance, it is quite an accomplishment in itself because they are with us every day. So thank you and congratulations to all of them. Thank you, Dr. Mitchell.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Zamora, for that. And, you know, I want to also say that it's a credit to our schools and our teachers that they encourage and that they that these students want to come to school and be there. And that's really a credit to our school system and our teachers that are providing instruction, that they make it so it's inviting for the kids to come to school, the students to come to school. Well, what an accomplishment. Well, kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. I can't even make it through a week. So anyway, the next item on the agenda is the superintendent's report. Dr. Mitchell?
Yes, thank you. So we have, let me see about sharing my screen. Oh, well, we will proceed. We were going to share about our graduations. And so we have student graduations and the conclusion of our school year last week. So we were very pleased to be able to celebrate with our students. And at all three of our high schools, we had our very unique yet very personal graduation ceremony. So we graduated our students one student at a time. Where families and were in the vehicle, students were exited the vehicle, had a processional in two cases down red carpets to pomp and circumstance, were able to pick up their diploma covers, have their picture taken, and to really celebrate with their families. So we recognize it is not the full graduation ceremony that many of our seniors were looking forward to be able to celebrate with their family and with all of their friends together, but it was something that was quite special, quite personal for each of them. And our three high schools did an extraordinary job, along with support from many of our other staff members, in making that a memorable experience. We are also, we have captured that day. Yes.
You are able to share your screen right now if you wanted to. So.
Okay. I mean, I think, okay. Let's see if I can. Sorry about that. A slight delay. Just keep going here because I'm having a little technical piece. So we did capture that on video, and so we are working now on preparing a senior memory for the students that includes a little bit of the footage from cap and gown pickup, but mostly all about our graduation. And it has our students saying their speeches, because our students were selected for speeches. There's a greeting from our principals. And so each of our three high schools will be sending that out to their students when it is available. And we anticipate it to be ready by around the end of next week, the beginning of next. So we're excited for that. As we look with the closure of one school year, then it's the embarking on the next school year. And so our secondary 7th through 12th grade summer learning, summer school has begun. That started on Monday. And our elementary extended learning opportunities or summer learning opportunities begin next Monday. So I know our Ed Services staff and many of our teachers and principals have been working to prepare and deliver that. That is all being done through distance learning. And then it brings us to what fall might look like. What is the start of the 2020 school year? So as a district, we have compiled a planning team consisting of 20 members who are looking at all aspects associated with the reopening of our schools for the 2021 school year. Last Friday, the California Department of Public Health issued their guidance document, and this week, the California Department of Education did the same. So we are anxiously awaiting on guidance from the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, and those guidelines are expected to be published in the next 2 weeks. To date, the planning team has met 6 times, and 2 of those meetings, there were 15 additional teachers who participated to provide input and ideas. Next week, there are 2 meetings for additional classified staff to provide specific input and ideas as well. Our initial parent input data, we had sent out a few weeks ago, we'd sent out a very brief survey to our parents and had a very significant return rate on that survey. Just about kind of where, how were they thinking? What were they looking at or how were they feeling regarding the start of the school year in terms of in-person instruction, distance learning? What were some of their preferences at that particular moment? And about 1/3 of our parents preferred to return to full in-classroom instruction. About 1/3 of our parents preferred a blend between online and in-person instruction. And about 1/3 preferred all online or distance learning. So it's important to note that survey was done a few weeks ago and the situation and opinions are rapidly changing, and we will be seeking input again from our parents as we have more information from the LA County Department of Public Health. So at this time, the planning team is planning for 2 modes of instruction, one that is all distance learning and one that would be blended between some classroom and some online learning. The blended model can have many designs to it, and the planning team has not yet narrowed down specifics. However, what we do know from the California Department of Public Health is it does not appear likely that we will be opening schools with full in-person instruction. Therefore, we are planning for a few options. Additionally, we are taking the time to plan for a couple of different scenarios in the event that the Department of Public Health guidelines change based on the status of COVID-19. One of the things that we have been encouraged to do is to make sure that we do have multiple plans in the event that we start in one plan but need to move to another one, either because the restrictions lighten or they are tightened, depending on the circumstance of what's happening with COVID-19 at the time. We know that there are some families that have a very strong preference for all online distance learning, and we are working to be able to accommodate that as an optional choice. Should that not be the direction for the district as a whole. Some parents have expressed they really do want to look at a full online option, even if we do introduce in-person instruction. And we are planning for that. Next steps are the planning team has many meetings and planning sessions in the next 2 weeks. We are working on soliciting input from our employees, our students, and our parents. And our goal is to provide an update to the board by the end of June. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Next on the agenda is the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee. They will present the 2019-2020 annual report. I will turn it back to Dr. Mitchell again.
Perfect. And I am going to actually turn it over to Alex Flores. Alex?
Hello. I have Natalie Moreno, the chairperson for the CBOC, that will be making the annual report as required.
Good evening, everyone. The Citizens Bond Oversight Committee was founded when the Measure R bond passed. Currently, there are 7 committee members, myself as chair, Ms. Denise Jackman as vice chair, Mr. Gerald Casterline, who is representing the seniors organization, Mr. Jay Chun, who is representing the business members slot. Mr. Nat Ornelas was on our committee and is now left it, but he was there for the majority of the year as a committee member. And Ms. Yvette Romo as a committee member, and Ms. Wendy Zong as PTA. Sorry, give me one moment. I need to move this box. The purpose of the annual report is to let the community and the board know how our year on the Bond Oversight Committee has gone, and to make sure that they are in compliance, the district is in compliance with state and federal laws of, I'm sorry, is state laws of Article 8, Section A1B3 of California Constitution. We have met on July 31st, October 2nd, November 2nd, January 29th, and May 22nd and June 3rd. Twice we had met at the Roland High School and three times at the district, and twice virtually due to the COVID pandemic. We've regularly met with the construction manager from Ledesma Meyer, who provided us updates on each phase. And we met at the Roland Library, the high school library, and did site walks. And we're also there for the opening of the Performing Arts Center at Roland High. We were unable to go to the CalBOC conference because it was canceled due to COVID-19. We were constantly given reports by Ms. McLeod. I'm sorry, we were given a small training by Ms. McLeod on the bidding process for the Oswald project and just the standard how it goes. And we have met with the architects that will be doing the Oswald Academy project. We have utilized the Colby financial reporting system and have always gotten any financial questions or documentations that we've ever requested. We will continue, well, we do continue to recommend that there would be training for new members and continue training in the Brown Act, especially for new members, and continued outside training, especially with CalBOC. We also met with the auditor, and there were no findings in our last audit. And our conclusion is based on the information provided to the CBOC. The district is in compliance with requirements of Article 8A, Section 1B3 of the California Constitution.
Perfect, thank you.
You're very much welcome. Oh, sorry, I did forget one thing. I have got to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Josefina Sandoval. Without her assisting us in liaising with our meetings and getting everybody together, especially after COVID, and most of us are new to this Zoom panel, Alex, for his leadership and any documentation that we requested, he was on it. Rosanna McLeod, for everything she does and the way she's able to break down a purchase order and explain things to us. Marcos, for showing us the sites and walking us through the procedures, especially when you get to that point in the construction where things just really look messy. He makes you understand what the needs and the steps are. And Aubrey, because Aubrey was the one who was culminating our financial reports, and anytime we had a question, he was right there to answer. So I did want to make sure everybody got one of those big thank yous.
Does anybody have any questions they want to ask?
I see Angelina has her hand up.
Angelina?
Yes, I just want to say thank you to the CBLC committee members, and especially thank you to you, Ms. Moreno, for being here this evening to provide the report on the behalf of your committee. We definitely appreciate all the hard work that you guys do, all the tough questions that you guys ask of the district. I don't think that people know how thorough all of you are. And just want you to know that this is a lot of time and effort away from your family and your other life, and we appreciate you. So thank you very much.
Vacation time at work, very well spent.
Okay, Donna,
Ditto, just want to say thank you so much for all your hard work. Very much appreciated.
Thank you very much.
I agree. Good job.
Thank you. Okay, I will hand it back to Alex.
I have one more, but I see mute on my name.
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Okay. I just want to say also, you know, being the board representative on the CBLC, I've seen the CBLC over the last four plus years, and the tremendous growth it has shown over those 4 years, and especially the last year or so under your leadership, it's really been unbelievable. Like you said, with Mr. Flores helping out and Josefina helping out, it's really an active doing that committee. And the reports you ask for, the reports you get, and the end product that we see when the construction is completed really is a testimony to your work you've been doing on the CBLC. So for on your behalf and all the other CBLC members, and as Pride said earlier, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule at night, away from your families, to take this high-paying job to do this. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, sir. Okay, let me flip this back around.
Okay, we can go back now to, do you have anything else you want to say, Mr. Flores?
No, just I do want to thank all the committee members. They do spend a lot of time and they ask a lot of thorough questions. And I do appreciate the commitment that they have for this community to making sure that our bond projects and our dollars are spent wisely and correctly and according to law. And I appreciate the time and energy they put into it. Thank you.
Dr. Mitchell, are there any other public comments this evening?
I believe that there are. I will turn it over to our moderator.
Yes, we only have one speaker, and it's Mr. Roy Humphreys.
Okay, Mr. Humphreys, before we get you started, let me just read this one paragraph real quickly. Please note the public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes, unless extended or limited by a vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes, unless extended by the board, is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not on the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. Okay, Mr. Humphreys.
Can you hear me?
A little bit louder.
Can you hear me?
Better.
Okay, we'll make this short and sweet. Once again, thank you for all the good things you do. And I'll let you know also a little added research is going on regarding the benefits compensation support to bring the data more current, although it's not an easy task on that, but I've been told that the results would be essentially the same in a proportional sense. Also, it's duly noted this that the slight to the constituents by the failure to provide video coverage. You certainly did it for the Bond Oversight Committee person, and to the effect that William Harrison says he's not going to participate in such an environment where such disrespect for the constituent is provided. The question is, what are you afraid of? Okay. And so he'll be waiting until things open up and he can speak to you in person. Also, the statement previously, other times by the board and the superintendent about the number of poverty students in the district, 60% or whatever it is, a very large percentage, is also your failure to note that you get a boatload of money, additional funds from the state and other sources for these people. So it's not like we're in poverty, and those poverty does not mean you have an inability to learn. In this research, we found that supposedly by some sources, you have a teacher student ratio of 25 to 1. Boom! Why do you need any excess staff around and the funds? And of course, we'll address that a little more later. And also, to let you know, Harry Peterson sends his love. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Humphreys. Ms. Ward, are there any other speakers that arrived?
There are none.
Okay, then we'll move on to the next item, which is a public hearing. Next, we'll have a public hearing on the Roland Unified School District Special Education Local Area SELFA Local Plan, including the annual budget and services plan for the years 2020 to 2021 school year. The public hearing is for all interested parties to provide comments on the above mentioned item. The public hearing is opened at 6:31 p.m. Are there any comments?
To our moderator, this is the opportunity for any of our attendees who would like to provide comment. Again, it's on a single topic of our public hearing for our Special Education Local Plan Area, SELPA Local Plan, including the budget and the service plan. So Ms. Ward, if there are any individuals from the public that wish to provide comment.
If anyone wishes to make a comment, they can raise their hand. There are no one to address the board.
Okay, so we'll have a public hearing. We'll be closed at 6:32 p.m. Thank you. The next item is discussion action items. The first one is we'll move to discussion action item number 7A, Local Control Accountability Plan, LCAP, COVID-19 written report to the community. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the Rowland Unified School District COVID-19 written report to the community?
Make a motion.
I'll second.
And then first and second, are there any questions or discussions? Anybody has their hand up? Okay, we'll then take a roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen? Mr. Chen?
You have to unmute, Mr. Chen. I'll do it.
Aye.
Okay, Ms. Evans?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And mine is aye also. So unanimous vote to approve the Local Control Accountability Plan, LCAP COVID-19. The next item is 7B, 2020-2021 Rowland Unified School District. And I have a motion and a second to adopt the Rowland Unified School District budget for 2020-2021 fiscal year.
I'll move.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. I would now like to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
Perfect. Thank you. This was the presentation that had been provided. This is in reference to the presentation that was provided at the May 28th meeting. And I just would like to have an opportunity for Mr. Flores to provide any comment prior to board taking action.
Just wanted to make the board aware and also the public that when this board, the budget presented to you and for adoption tonight is based upon the governor's May revise. And since the governor's May revise, both the Assembly and the Senate in California have rejected the governor's proposal, and it's going through the process. And hopefully by the end of June that there'll be a state budget. But as presented in the presentation, that a lot of this is based upon the receipts of the income taxes, which are due in July 15th. And we do plan and we do expect this to be very fluid. And we plan to bring a budget update, a revision, on September 10th, a 45-day budget revision.
Anybody else have any questions?
So there's no change since the presentation?
There's no change since the presentation, and it's still based on the governor's May revision assumptions.
Are we voting on the COVID-19 written report to the community, or are we on budget?
We're on budget.
We're on 7B.
We did? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Any other questions regarding 7B? I want to thank Mr. Flores for all the work that he and his staff have put into trying to develop a budget with so many uncertainties. It's really a challenge, I can imagine. But thank you for all your hard time and the extra hours that were put in by you and your staff. Okay, we have a first and a second. No other questions. We'll do roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbingkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And I is for me also, so it's a unanimous vote and it carries. Item number 7C, Special Education Local Plan, SELFA, local plan including the annual budget and service plan. I don't want to confuse this with the earlier one we had under 6A, which was a hearing for the SELFA. Now we're approving the local plan that we had the hearing for and the annual budget and service plan. So can I have a motion and a second to approve the SELFA local plan, including the annual budget and service plan for 2020-2021 fiscal year and our school year?
Before the motion is made, David, it says that we're just asked to receive and review. Is this to be a motion to pass or accept it?
The board is asked to approve.
This is
on the wrong.
You're looking at D, Mrs. Ebbenkamp. So we're on item C, which is an approval.
Okay, I'm
action item.
I've skipped down one. Sorry.
You're okay.
I move.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Any questions or discussions? I have this one question. With this plan now, are we totally separate from Hacienda La Puente Unified School District, or are we still have a part with them?
So this school year, we were our own independent single district SELPA. So the Puente Hills SELPA was is no longer and was not in effect for the 1920 school year, although we still did have a shared program.
Right.
So this is the second time we are adopting our own single district SELPA plan and budget.
Do we still have a shared program, any part of it?
So we did this past school year, we did.
Right.
And we are still in discussions in terms of how do we best serve our students in both areas, particularly looking at our deaf and hard of hearing program.
Okay. Okay, any other questions from anybody? Hearing none, I'll do roll call vote. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me also, so motion carries unanimously. Next item is 7D, Rowland Unified School District 2020-2021 District Goals, Directions, and Focus Areas. This item is for discussion only. There will be no action taken at this time. Are there any questions or discussions? Okay, I have a few comments. Is there anybody else have anything? So I'll go ahead with mine. Okay, I just want to, first of all, when it was on agenda online, it didn't highlight the changes that were being added to this document, at least not on my computer. So I just want to be clear that what we're adding is under District Direction 1, Focus Area 1.4. which is tech and teach and reinforce diversity as an integral component in educating the total child. So we're adding that. And then under district direction 5, we're adding focus area 5.1, which is establish and expect an environment where interactions within our school environment are characterized by acceptance, valuing, respect, support, safety, and inclusion, such that all students and staff feel challenged and welcomed without fear of threat, humiliation, danger, or disregard. And then under District 6, which is leadership, we're adding ensure a welcoming, safe, inclusive, and equitable school community that respects the values and diversity. I would like to add another one under 2.5, under district direction, which the title is College and Career Readiness, 21st Century Skills. And it has 2.1 through 2.4. I'd like to add a 2.5. And this is provide equity and access for all students to achieve college and career goals. So that's to provide equity and access for all students to achieve college and career goals. Part of this came up, I think, was because of some of the activities in this past week and some of the discussions that were going on about public schools. And I would like to have that added as a 2.5 under college and career readiness. Is there any discussion? Yes, no, or modification?
So I've noted that, Mr. Malcolm, so I have that. And like I said, let's see what the input is from the board. Thank you. I did write it down. I know sometimes we type it up there, but I do have a note of what you've asked for.
David, I think it's a great idea. Do you want to add, though, who are in the process of achieving the goals? Because they haven't achieved the goals yet. Because the way it's written, I think it's like after they get their goals. Should we put it more at the present that they're in the, you know, during? Like access who are in the process of achieving their goals.
Provide equity and access to all students.
They provide equal access.
Right.
It's equity and access for all students in the process of achieving their college and career goals.
Yeah. What do you think?
I have no problem with that.
I think it's a great idea.
Access for all students in the process of achieving their college and career goals. So it would be achieving their college and career goals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, college bound and career are the same important, equally important thing. It's a good idea to add it to it.
Yeah. Anybody else have any questions or concerns? And we can add that as a 2.5 under district direction, college and career readiness, 21st century skills. And then we'll go, we're just for discussion, so there's no vote to be taken.
Correct, it's just a discussion item.
Now, one of the other things I want to bring up, and it kind of relates to this, and I just found out about it today.
Can you speak up, David?
Oh, I have a neighbor who used to be a counselor at Rowland Unified, Aida Sandoval, and she sent me some articles tonight, and I just got this one, which I just want to share, because, you know, I said before, these are words on a paper, but, you know, I want to walk the talk. I said that with transparency and got me in trouble, because I said transparency is a buzzword unless you walk the talk. Well, these are buzzwords unless you walk the talk. And I just found out that last night, Santa Ana Unified School District had their school board meeting, and they unanimously voted to adopt a resolution creating a new graduation requirement, which will mandate students to finish a one-year course on ethics studies before receiving their diploma. Mm-hmm. And I really think that would dovetail into this 2.5, that we could have this on paper, but if we require a one-year course for graduation in diversity, that would then implement what this actually is saying. So I know we're not taking a vote tonight, but I would like the board to at least consider possibility of adding that in the future, a requirement that we have this class.
Was that ethics, David?
Big pardon?
Was that ethics?
Right.
So I need to stop the board. I'm sorry. I see David trying to dovetail it, but this is not that agenda item. So because we have not put on the agenda an ethnic studies course, the board cannot engage in a conversation around ethnic studies. So we can certainly put that on an agenda for a future meeting for the board to engage in conversation. But we have not afforded the community an opportunity to know that this was a discussion happening with the board. So I apologize for interrupting.
Okay. I thought the subtitles in too.
Mr. Malkin, your mic keeps fading in and out.
That's all right.
It's muffled.
Yeah, I try to talk directly into it. Okay, so we'll go ahead then and add 2.5 under district goals and objectives. No other questions or concerns on that one then? Okay, then we'll go on to item number 7E, which is district course catalog. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the district course catalog?
I move.
Second.
We have a first and a second. Are there any questions or discussions? regarding the course catalog?
I have a comment.
Go on, Don.
I really like the I put into this, especially all the jobs below the classes. So the kids, once they know which class they're going to take, they could see which job they could actually have in the real world. And I thought it was very well put together. I enjoyed looking it over. Great job, whoever did. I know.
Also, I think last year I asked for a correction, which was made this year. So kids know when they look at it, what, I think it was visual arts, but they know which classes they can take to fulfill that requirement for graduation. So thank you.
Any other comments or discussion regarding the course catalog from 2021? Okay, I'll have roll call then. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Edenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Price?
Aye.
And I'm aye for me also, so motion carries. Item number 7F, AB 1200 and AB 2756, a tentative agreement between the Roland Unified School District and the Association of Roland Educators, also known as ARE, and other non-bargaining unit groups. Can I have a motion and a second to the AB 1200 and AB 2756 from the Los Angeles County Office of Education in relationship to the tentative agreement between the Roland Unified School District and ARE and other non-bargaining unit groups for fiscal years 2019-2020 and 2020 and 2021?
I move.
Second?
I'll second.
Second, any questions or discussions? No questions or discussions. I just want to extend my appreciation to Mr. Bixler for working on this project and bringing it to the board. Any other questions or discussion? Okay, well then have roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
I think Mr. Malkin may have.
Ms. Edenkamp?
So, Mr. Malkin, I believe you're having internet issues. I know you and I spoke before the meeting began, but your microphone has been challenged with the static, and I think it has to do with your connection.
Right.
And so we have a vote right now from Donna, Ms. Friedman, and Mr. Chen, but you froze when asking about Ms. Ebenkamp.
Okay, Ms. Ebenkamp?
Yes.
And Ms. Pride?
Aye.
Okay, and mine's aye, so motion carries unanimously. Okay, item 7H, district management team, confidential supervisory playground, vision aids, and contracted adult school employees. Can I have a motion and a second to approve compensation increases for unrepresented groups consisting of all district management team, confidential / supervisory, playground supervision aides, and contracted adult school employees?
I move.
I'll second.
And we have a first and a second. Discussion? Questions? Okay, we'll take roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so motion carries unanimously. Item 7I, second reading and approval of revised board policy 6142.7, physical education and activity. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the revised board policy 6142.7, physical education and activity?
I'll move.
I'll second.
And Ms. Ebenkamp moves, Ms. Friedman seconds. Any questions or discussion? Okay, then we'll take a roll call vote. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so motion carries unanimously.
Item 7J.
Oops.
Mr. Malkin?
Yes.
I believe we skipped an item. Item 7G, the actual tentative agreement. We did approve item 7F, which is the AB 1200 and AB 2756, but I believe we did not do a formal vote for 7G, which is the tentative agreement.
Oh, I thought we did, okay.
I may have missed it, but I don't recall. You're right.
Okay, item seven, we'll go back to item 7G out of order. Tentative agreement between the Roland Unified School District and the Association of Roland Educators, ARE. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the tentative agreement between the Roland Unified School District and the Association of Roland Educators?
I move.
Ms. Friedman moves, Mr. Chen seconds. Are there any questions or discussion? Okay, I'll do roll call then if I don't see any. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Evenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And mine is aye also, so the vote carries unanimously. Okay, now we go back to which one, 7I or 7J? We were doing the physical education one, I think.
That's correct. Now on item 7I, physical education.
Right, and that's the one we read. So is there any questions or discussions regarding 7I?
If we can,
Go back and ask for a first and second?
Yes, please.
Okay, can I have a first and second again on that?
Move.
Second.
Can we go first and second? You sure you want to say that, Donna? Okay, we have a first and second. Is there any discussion or questions? Okay, we'll take roll call on that. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Evenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so motion carries unanimously. Now we'll go to 7J. Extension to contract of employment for the superintendent of schools, Dr. Mitchell. Can I have a motion and a second to approve a one-year extension to the contract of employment for the superintendent of schools, Dr. Julie Mitchell?
I'll move.
Second. And Ms. Friedman moves. Ms. Ebenkamp seconds. Questions, discussions? We will now take roll call vote. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so motion carries unanimously. Item 7K is extension to contract of employment for the Assistant Superintendent of Administrative Services, Mr. Alejandro Flores.
I'll move.
Can I have a motion? One second.
Sorry.
A motion and a second to approve the extension to the contract of employment for the Assistant Superintendent of Administrative Services, Mr. Alejandro Flores.
I move.
One second.
We have a first and second. Are there any questions or discussions? We will now take a roll call vote. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And I say aye too, so the motion carries unanimously. We're now on 7L, which is extension of contract of employment for Assistant Superintendent of Human Resources, Mr. Dennis Bixler. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the extension to the contract of employment for Assistant Superintendent of Human Resources, Mr. Dennis Bixler?
I move.
Second.
We have first and second. Any questions, discussions? We'll now take a roll call vote. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so motion carries unanimously. 7M, extension of contract of employment for the Assistant Superintendent of Education, Dr. Matilde Zamora. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the extension of the contract of employment for Assistant Superintendent of Education, Dr. Matilde Zamora?
I move.
So Ms. Friedman moves, Mr. Chen seconds. Are there any questions or discussions? If not, I'll then take a roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so motion carries unanimously. 7N, contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Keenan and Associates Protected Insurance Program for Schools Joint Powers Authority, PIPS, for workers' compensation. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Keenan and Associates Protected Insurance Program for Schools for Joint Powers Authority?
I move.
Second.
Ms. Ebbingham.
Ms. Ebbingham seconds it. And Ms. Friedman moves. Are there any questions or discussions? I have one question. I noticed that that's like everything else, that's gone up in price also, the cost of that policy. That's an observation. Any other questions or discussion? Okay, then we'll take a roll call vote. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbingham?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so it's a unanimous vote for the approval of the contract. The next item is 7P, I'm sorry, 7O, contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District, ACC Contractors Incorporated, and Oswald Academy New Campus Project. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the contract between the Roland Unified School District and ACC Contractors Incorporated?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Second. Is there a second?
I did, I second.
Okay, open for discussion. Mr. Flores, do you have a comment you wanna make on this?
Yes, I just want the board and the public to be aware that six bids were received and opened on May 27th, 2020. District staff determined that ACC contractor is the responsible bidder that submitted the lowest responsive bid proposal in the amount of $40,830,000. On May 28th, 2020, district staff issued to all bidders the district's notice of intent to award the contract to ACC by letter dated June 3rd, 2020. RC Construction Services, the second apparent low bidder at $41 million, protested the award of the contract to ACC on three grounds. District legal counsel reviewed the grounds for the protest and determined they were without merit. Moreover, district legal counsel determined the protest was not timely presented in accordance with the district bid requirements by letter dated June 9, 2020. District legal counsel responded to RCC's protest, advising RCC that the protest was untimely and without merit, and the district intends to award the contract to ACC at the district's Board of Education meeting on June 10th, 2020.
Did you get comments from the architects and other interested parties working on this project, Mr. Flores?
The bid approval process requires that the approved DSA plans that the architects created are presented and they're bidded on. If there's any questions regarding the contracting of the bid, the architect needs to answer and submit the answers to all people that are bidding on the project. So yes, they are part of the process in the bidding process.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? Not hearing any, I'll do a roll call vote. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbingham?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me also, so motion carries unanimously. The next item is 7P, approval of resolution authorizing emergency contract for immediate boiler system repair and installation at Ruth Richards Service Center between the Roland Unified School District and the Heat Transfer Solutions Incorporated. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the resolution authorizing emergency contract for immediate boiler system repair and installation at the Ruth Richards Service Center between the Roland Unified School District and the Heat Transfer Solution Incorporated?
I'll move.
Second.
We have a first and second. Is there any questions, discussions? Now, it's my understanding that this is the boiler that's in the dietary department.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's very old.
Yes, I heard that we've been putting it together with duct tape, basically.
And it's very essential during this time that we're serving so many meals to our community, not just to our families, but also to residents.
Yeah, it's long overdue. Okay, any other questions or discussions regarding this item? Okay, we'll take roll call vote then. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me also, so it's unanimously approved. 7Q, amend 2019-2020 Board of Education meeting schedule. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the amendment to the 2019-2020 Board of Education meeting schedule and add a regular board meeting to be held on Monday, June 29, 2020?
I'll move.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and second. Are there any questions or discussion? Okay, we'll take a roll call vote. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbenkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so it's unanimous. I assume that starts at 4:30, that meeting?
Correct. Unless there's a need to start and have an extended time in closed session, but at this moment, the regular business meeting will begin at 6.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
We now move on to the consent calendar. Next is the consent calendar. We will approve all items in the consent calendar with the exception of any items that were pulled separate for discussion and action, and there were no items that were pulled. So can I have a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Will you want to say something to Dr. Mitchell?
No.
Oh, okay, so we have a first and second. Any discussion?
No discussion on consent.
Okay, that's right. I miss not having you next to me. Okay, we'll now have roll call. Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Evanson?
Yes.
Ms. Pride? Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And it's aye for me, so a motion carries to approve the consent calendar as is. Next, we'll hear comments from the board. We'll start with Ms. Pride this evening.
Sorry, I didn't know I was first. Give me a moment here to pull up. First, I do want to congratulate all of our graduates, and the graduations were just wonderful. And I'm very, very pleased that everything came out so well. Give me one second here to pull up my comments. Okay, I think I'm good. Okay. So, so thank you guys for the congratulations to our graduates and to the students acknowledged this evening. And again, everything went really well. Before I read my board comments, I want everyone to know that what I'm about to say is not politically motivated in any way by any party. It is also not endorsing any group, suggesting affiliation with any group. It is a statement in support of the RUSD students who I spoke with who participated in the marches that recently took place in Roland Heights and Walnut. Here's my comments. It is a little lengthy. Please be patient with me. I cannot breathe. They gonna kill me. I can't breathe. Please, sir, please, I can't breathe. These were the last words of George Floyd. For 8 minutes and 46 seconds, he lay on the ground with an officer's knee in his neck, cutting off his airway and ultimately ending his life. Since that day, I have read statements put out by every organization from the NFL to department stores to colleges and universities to K through 12 school districts, all of which were filled with platitudes but lacked specific solutions and actions that need to take place in order to bring about change. Where were these statements when Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, Tamir Rice, Walter Scott, Philando Castile, Botham John, Dominique Clayton, Sandra Bland, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery, just to name a few, all had their lives cut short because of the color of their skin? Yet only now do people seem outraged. Only now are people sending their thoughts and prayers to the Black community. Only now are people marching with us. But how long will you keep it up? How long will we keep it up? Tonight, I am not here to send thoughts and prayers. I'm here to talk solutions. But before I do, I want to tell you about some things that my family has experienced, some of which were right here in our community. Let's start in 2013, when I was campaigning for my seat on the school board. My two sons and three others were knocking on doors in Roland Heights when law enforcement showed up and told them that someone called about a suspicious group of kids who might be trying to rob a house. They were questioned and told that they needed to leave the area, never mind the pamphlets and campaign signs that they were carrying. Thanks to Mr. Malkin, we did receive an apology for that incident. Not even a year later, enforcement stopped my son as he pulled in front of our home above Pathfinder in Roland Heights. They asked him to see his identification, questioned what he was doing in the neighborhood, and even wanted to see him use the key to enter our home. 2 years later, while he was home from school, law enforcement followed him into the parking lot of our condo in West Covina and asked where he was going. It was only after he opened the garage from his car that they left him alone. Driving back to school in a new car I had just purchased for him, he and his Hispanic roommate were stopped in Texas for no reason other than the officer wanting to know whose vehicle they were driving. Does the color of his skin justify this harassment? Do the twists he sometimes wears in his hair justify this harassment? Does the fact that he was driving a decent car justify harassment? What does justify harassment? What about my position on the school board? During public comments by some community members, I have listened to conference references to slavery, been referred to as a monkey, told that I live in the ghetto because I moved to the north side of the district, and that I have a ghetto mentality. But if our first Black president was a constant victim of racism, why would my kids and I be any different? Hearing Mr. Floyd use his last breaths to call out for his mother reminded me of the evening of July 7th, 2016. I was sitting in my bedroom when my daughter came in crying hysterically, telling me she was worried about her brother and that maybe he should come home from college because they are killing Black men and will get away with it. She had just seen a story on the news about Philando Castile, a young Black man who was shot to death in his car while his fiance and four-year-old daughter looked on. Since the day I became a mom, I have done everything I could to raise my kids well. Manners, respect, volunteerism, and acceptance of others' rights and opinions were at the forefront. All of the kids that spent time in my home received the same lesson. But now I question, was that enough? Did I do enough? I don't want to be someone who just complains about the problem. I need to be part of the solution. Seeing the youth that came out to the marches in Walnut and Roland Heights have made me realize even more that there has to be something more that I can do. I need to take action. I'm going to take action. And I hope that each of you will join me. Put your time, support, talents, and money where your platitudes and thoughts and prayers are. Take action to make a difference. I wasn't sure where I should start, but after watching the news last night, I realize what I must do. Change can only happen at the ballot box. We need to elect people who truly understand the plight of minorities and want to do something about it, no matter what their race or party affiliation is. This can be done in several ways, and the district can take part. Dealing with the emotional impact that watching what happened to Mr. Floyd has on our youth, are we as a district prepared to address this issue with our students? focus more on equity and diversity in our schools at an earlier age. Challenge students to really look at and think about how they treat one another. We must do more to educate our students on the importance of voting and provide opportunities for eligible seniors and their family members to register for vote at our school sites. We must stop voter suppression. Look at what happened in Georgia last night. We can make more of our schools available for use as voting sites on Election Day. We must fight against gerrymandering and educate our students and parents on how that act impacts them and their voice. Most importantly, we must educate our students and parents on the need to vote the entire ticket, not just the top. People need to know that their voice is strongest at the local level, and that is the quickest place to impact change. I am committed to being part of that change, and I hope you will join me. Before I close, I want to make some things clear, very clear, so that there is no misunderstanding. I am by no means anti-police. That would be very hard considering that my father was a law enforcement officer. I don't believe all cops are bad, nor do I believe that all people are bad. I don't believe that looting and riots will bring about the change that we need and deserve. Finally, when I was 9 years old, my father, who worked in law enforcement, as I stated, made me read Eldridge Cleaver's Soul on Ice. And at the time, I couldn't understand why, and I wasn't happy about it. But now I understand, because it was Eldridge Cleaver who said, you don't have to teach people how to be human. You have to teach them how to stop being inhuman. If we keep those words in our heart, then maybe, just maybe, we all will have the opportunity to breathe. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Ms. Pride. Can you hear me? Thank you very much for that heartful statement. I'm trying to see who's next now online here. I guess it would be Ms. Friedman.
Oh, I follow that. Oh my goodness.
Yes, okay.
Wow. Congratulations to the students that had perfect attendance from kindergarten to sixth, kindergarten to eighth, and my goodness, kindergarten to 12th grade. That is fantastic. Wow, that is so hard to do. It's amazing that they were able to not miss one day of school. Thank you, Natalie, for all you do and for the report on the CBOC. Senior light pole banners are up, and it is so wonderful to see in our community as we drive around. Also, a large banner across Nogales Street is up showing how proud we are of our graduates. There was a large ad in the San Gabriel Valley Tribune listing all seniors that graduated, which was terrific. Roland Unified School District's first virtual orchestra concert was amazing. Our students are so talented. They sounded magical. It was interesting to hear the students that were interviewed talk about what it is to be part of orchestra and why should you join. So enjoyable. Great job, music teachers and students. Hollingworth had a Zoom meeting where I just saw the last part of it, but it was a luau and the class I saw was singing a song to Dr. Mitchell. The students were so excited and had so much fun singing. It was great to see them all on the screen. The drive-through graduations, oh my goodness, I attended all three and enjoyed them immensely. This is the first time I was able to see the family smiling and taking pictures, so proud of their graduate. All of our graduates look great in their cap and gown. It was my pleasure to congratulate them and wish them luck as they walked by. It was very special at every high school. So happy the graduates have this. Every high school made it really something that they'll never forget for every single graduate. So I just wanna tell you a little bit about each one because they were all three so wonderful. I first went to Nogales High School. Andrea Brunbaugh, principal, stood under the canopy to greet all the graduates and take a picture with them after their name was announced on the stage. Cars were decked out with signs, banners, and balloons. Lots of cars were honking when they heard the graduate's name. It just really touched my heart. One person in the car had two cell phones taking pictures. At Santana High School, Greg Perez, principal, talked to every student and their family. Every graduate received a yellow rose. It looked like all the teachers were present, standing on the other side of the parking lot, cheering for all the graduates. That was amazing to see. One graduate, before going back in the car, threw a kiss to her teacher. I spoke to two students waiting to go on the stage. The first one raved about his experience at Santana, saying they really care about you. He is going to attend Mount SAC in fall. The second one I talked to will also be attending Mount SAC in fall, and he plans to become a fireman. Roland High School, Rich Brunier principal, showed me the process when a car comes in the parking lot. The first stop is to get their mask and gloves. Not only that, they received a program like a real graduation with all the graduates' names and awards they received. So I don't know if you could see it, but I was really impressed that it's just like if they were to really go to the graduation. And then next to their names are the little stars and things right here to show what award they received. And then not only that, they also received a double-sided paper or cardboard, I'm not sure what kind this is, with all the staff pictures holding a sign for the graduates. So I was very impressed with this. I hope you could see it. All the teachers have a sign in front saying like congratulations or whatever, and it's two-sided so they could see all the teachers. What a gift to give them. I mean, something to remember because all of them couldn't be there. Oh my goodness, it's very touching. They are great. Then the car continues and there are so many tents up along the way filled with teachers and staff. The teachers were holding signs and cheering the graduates as they drove by. Next, the graduate gets out of the car and walks on a pretend red carpet. They go on the stage and their name is announced. Then they walk to the area where there is a huge 2020 in white and their mascot in a large cardboard figure and something else for more pictures. I was so amazed with the drive-through graduation. The committees in charge did a fantastic job. I would like to say thank you to everyone that had a part in making all of these graduations successful. Thank you so much. I just want to mention some, Gina, photographers, staff that made sure the campuses look perfect, all the committees, including Kirk in technology, Mark, the Performing Arts Center manager, Alex for getting extra security, classified staff, certificated staff, administrative staff, and so on and so on. So very many people. All your hard work really paid off. I want to say to all of you, we appreciate you so much for making this so special for our graduates during the pandemic. And I look forward to looking at all the videos at all three high schools. I'm glad we will be having summer school. All classes will be virtual. I'm looking forward to school starting in fall. I want to wish everyone a very enjoyable summer. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Friedman. Mr. Chen?
Yes, yeah. Perfect attendance. Every year we celebrate that, but some people now realize what is behind perfect attendance. I believe for a student who has 12 years perfect attendance, that means that the student has well, that student has to taking the responsibility. That's a something the attending school is their duty. If the 12 years or 13 years they're not missing any class, so they are perfectly carry out their duty. So the student will carry on this to all the way to their whole life. So that's very important for a student who had realized the attending school is their duty. So perfect attendance, I think that's very important for us to congratulate them and celebrate them. So, and I attend the IQ Academy board meeting on telephone. So they don't have on Zoom, they have on telephone. And I'm representing the board to attend it. The meeting was held yesterday and they discussed the COVID-19 report, same as we do, and they present the budget for 2021 budget, and the report of the engagement family policy change, and all pretty routines. Nothing's anything unusual. That's for the IQ Academy. And I attend the graduation on at the Roland High School, and that was unique and well organized, and the families and the graduates very happy, and that's very different from the graduation before, and it's very different from the other schools what they have on virtual on the Zoom, because we have personal keeping the distance, but we are there physically. So that make a lot of difference. And the parents are very appreciated. And I was there in the morning and attending the ending part of the graduation also. There were a total of 472 students graduate from Roland High School. And it take a long time, like the whole day to finish everyone and getting their diploma and taking pictures. And I'm very proud of myself to be part of the graduation ceremony. And this is, I would say this is a historical event because it never happened before, and I don't want it to happen again. So, and that's the there was another historical event in Roland Heights. That was the Matters March in Roland Heights. I was there. The reason I was there, not because I'm associated with any organization or anything, because that was a historical event for Roland Heights. I want to be there. I don't want to miss the opportunity. So I was there, and I spoke with the organizer, and then I met the county officials, and then make sure everything looks okay, and the march and the protest was peaceful and very organized too. And I think that was a very successful event. And a lot of young individuals attending, and I think the Roland School District students and college students, most of them are from local community. So that was a very successful event. I was there to support the idea of a peaceful protest or peacefully express their opinion on what they think is right. So that's very important moment for educate the community also. And so I'm very glad the event was peaceful and successful. And I put it on my social media, and people see it. I got a lot of support from that. But there was create some misunderstanding on that. I put two parts of my comments on the social media. And the second part, started conversation with the other readers, and they asked me how the event's doing. And I replied, I said the event was successful, but I'm a little bit disappointed that because at the beginning, some attendees there, they are not as serious as I expect. The people there laughing and joking, some singing, and there was not a serious. I was expecting very serious because there was a serious event. So I said, "Oh, they are like a big party," and I put a comment on that, I got the negative replies. Says, so you shouldn't say it's a big party. I shouldn't say that. So I apologize that if I say anything make people uncomfortable, but I want to share with everyone. I was there to support the idea of the peaceful march and peace protest, and I agree with them. So I was there not representing anyone. I'm not representing district or a Chinese association. I was there myself. Yeah, and I did not wear the school district polo shirt. Then that's not true. Then the looks like a polo shirt, but not. So I was there representing myself only. And I was there to be there for not missing the Roland Heights historical event. And I was there to support the freedom of speech and the freedom of assembly right for the people. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chan. Ms. Ebbenkamp?
Thank you, Mr. Malkin. And thank you to Mrs. Pride for expressing her heartfelt thoughts over this serious issue that's all over everywhere. I'd like to talk about our schools and our district at this time. And although things couldn't be as we normally would do in June, some very nice events took place. First, the culmination of our seniors finishing up their role in Unified School District years. Students were pleased with our plans for putting on drive-through graduations at Roland High School, Nogales High School, and Santana, and each student being able to accept a diploma while families watched in their cars. This was done similarly in several of the elementary and middle schools also. It took a lot of planning to pull it off and time to do it just right. On another note, the virtual strings musical concert was beautiful and seemed to go on without a hitch. I was so proud of our instructors for being able to plan such a performance and proud of our students for how hard they worked to gain command of their instrument. I can't imagine how much coordination it must have taken to pull this all off so smoothly. Thank you again to the music department, students and parents for doing such a great job to make this happen. Lastly, I want to thank the entire administrative staff, including cabinet, supervisors, directors, principals, and secretaries of all our schools for going above and beyond for their students. Thank you to all our teachers who had to flex their muscles, brain muscles, to learn about how to execute and pull off teaching our students remotely. And thank you to our classified staff for being there to hand out meals to families, disinfect our classrooms, and do the behind the scenes work necessary to make things run smoothly. We know you're there, even though you're not always in the front, even though you're not always front row center. This has been a troubling but rewarding year because we've come so far. And thanks to the entire district team. My thanks to everyone and congratulations to all our graduates, high school, elementary, and middle schoolers. You did it. Now have a great summer.
Thank you, Ms. Evan-Kent. I guess that leaves me with the last closing remarks. First, I want to congratulate all the students with the perfect attendance. It's just remarkable that you can go through the entire career and not miss a day. But it also impresses me that they started in Roland Elementary and they worked all the way through our school system and they were part of our school. Their end product is a result of our education that we provided them. And I'm really proud of that. I have to say that I kind of missed today. I'm not having a focused presentation from one of the schools or not having any of the students present. I really look forward to that at all the board meetings. And I kind of missed that today. I want to tag along with what Ms. Ebbenkamp said on the virtual music festival. That, I don't know if anybody else see that? That was just unbelievable. I mean, not just the quality of the sound, but the visual effect of it. You have to log on to YouTube and see it. The way he focused on each of the individual people that were playing and the editing of the tape and everything, or not the editing because it was live, but the way it was done, the presentation, it was so visually pleasing that to me, it was better than any Academy Award film I've ever seen. And the music just sounded great. And I really think that they need to have some type of recognition at one of our board meetings for the music department for coordinating that. It really was a first, and I almost enjoyed it more than being there in person. It really was great. If you haven't seen it, go on to YouTube and watch it. You'll be unbelievably surprised at how nice and beautiful it is. I also want to thank everybody, especially in administrative services, that prepared the graduation process. I saw that on tweet. I saw pictures of it that Mr. Flores tweeted out and the other people tweeted out. It looked beautiful with the plants and how clean the place was cleaned up. The day before, I saw Mitch and somebody else, I forget who it was, holding weeds. And it really looked really nice, the three high schools that I saw, and also the intermediate and elementary schools and the TK kids. I actually have a neighbor here that graduated from Telesis, and they had a parade coming up our street, and we have a park across the street. So they paraded up, and they ended up at the park across the street. And they had a whole bunch of balloons and everything there, and some of the teachers were there. It was just great. And I wasn't even aware that one of the Telesis teachers lived like five houses away from me. I wasn't even aware of that until I met her. So it really was neat. Sometimes when you have a bad situation, it ends up being a positive situation, which I think this did this year. I'm looking forward to all the enhancements. When I was looking at the some of the things we approved today, what administrative services are going to do. It's kind of interesting that when school goes out for a recess during spring break, or during summer break, all the administrative staff come in and the painters come in. They put new roofing on gymnasiums. They paint schools. They repaint parking lots. And all of a sudden, you know, all these little gremlins come out. Then school starts and they all disappear again. So really a big thanks to all the staff that put in so many hours of hard work during the summer to make schools look so beautiful. I wanna close with and kind of tag on to what Ms. Pride was saying. Does everybody remember Mr. Rogers? Everybody watch Mr. Rogers when they were kids?
Yeah.
Yes, I don't have my cardigan sweater on, but I do have my tennis shoes on. And Mr. Rogers has a saying that I just want to share with you all. His saying was, when your heart can cry for another's sadness, then your heart is full of love. Let me put that in again. When your heart can cry for another's sadness, then your heart is full of love. When Ms. Pride was reading or sharing her experiences, I had tears in my eyes. And I think that kind of goes with what Mr. Rogers would say, that if you listen to what she was saying and didn't have a tear in your eye, then there's not love in your heart. Otherwise, you'd be crying when you heard what she was saying. And to go along with that, I feel that some of the goals and objectives that we passed today in our goals and objectives will help with looking at cultural diversity. But I'm going to come in through the back door now because I was stopped before. And talking about a class. Now it's under comments and I'll talk about a class. What I'd like for us to do is to look at our curriculum and do we have cultural diversity adequately represented in our curriculum? And should we add a class, enrich a class that we currently have, or expand the class that we currently have to more fully reflect cultural diversity as it was being discussed in the past month or so, or more importantly, in the past week. And should we require that as part of our graduation requirements to have that class as a requirement? And I would like to, you know, put that out as a challenge to the cabinet, Dr. Zamora and Dr. Mitchell, to look at that curriculum and to see whether or not we need to change, because we could have the words on paper and it looks good on paper, but if we don't do anything more than just to have the words on paper, then they're just words on paper. If we actually have a class that teaches those words and requires students to participate in those classes, then those words have more meaning. They actually have legs and they actually transposed into action what's on paper. So I would really encourage us to look at our curriculum to see if we need to add a class or expand the class, and to see whether or not we want to require that as one of our classes for graduation requirements. And to see whether it would fit in too, because I know that there's so many other things kids have to take that it's hard to squeeze other things in. We talked about that with Avid and other things. So I don't know how practical that would be also. But I'd leave that up to Dr. Mitchell and Dr. Zamora to see whether or not that is a practical suggestion. But I'd be curious to have a feedback on that. And other than that, I look forward to having another meeting, I guess, coming on the 29th. This is becoming a regular thing. And look forward to all the improvements this summer at the schools. And with that, can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll move.
Have a second?
Second.
I have a first and second. Can I have a...
Oh, he gets to the very end and he froze.
Discussion, none.
Internet challenges.
Roll call on this. Did I freeze again? How's that? Yeah. I see Carrie back in outer space.
Yeah, try it again.
And I have a note saying my internet connection is not stable. I had told Dr. Mitchell that my internet connection, they're going to be out Friday to find out why it's unstable. As long as it's unstable and not me, that's all I care. Okay, Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Mr. Chen?
Aye.
Ms. Ebbingkamp?
Yes.
Ms. Pride?
Aye.
And I say aye. And so we will close the meeting for June 10th. At 7:37, and everybody have a good evening. And I would like to also, I got to zoomed out.
You're there.
We can hear you. I just want to thank everybody that else is on there, because I think we have 27 participants. So I want to thank everybody else that participated and joined in on our board meeting. Thank you.
Great job, David. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you, David. Yeah. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.